Tonight we are turning to the first book, Corinthians chapter 11. We continue our studies in the book. Last week we looked at verse 11 to 16 of this chapter. And just to remind ourselves before we move on, Apostle Paul continued in his exhortation to the Corinthian church on the orderliness and modesty. Now, if you have a chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 11 to 16. And now, Apostle Paul, now, if you are in church, you are not church, So we can remember under this we looked at Paul's statement on the covering of women at Corinth when they go to church, and the reasons he gave that they have to put on the covering. And we also realized how the various implications for us, and it reminded us that Christianity does not dissolve natural distinctives of creation. And we remember Apostle Paul was treating the subjection of the woman to man, and as I said, in context of marriage and also in the church. And so that ought to be upheld by Christians, because these are the rules of God for our relations as men and women, both in the church and also in the marriage. And if you have mesma, Apostle Paul church, you know, my who said, "The beer used to pour, and upon Shama, a body, and I said, 'Nipano, and if you my, or say, the person made you so.'" So we move on to verse 17 this evening, and our subject is the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. And we cannot go through all the verses concerning the Lord's Supper, as it's all about that. So this will be part one, and as whatever we go to, we'll continue next time when we meet. And so I begin with you from verse 17. "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse." If we can remember in verse 12, Apostle Paul has praised the Corinthian church, that they have adhered to the instructions on church order that he sent to them. Verse 12, he said, there's one verse before that he praised them for. Verse 2 rather, it's not verse 12. "Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." So he praised them that they kept, but then in other ways they have not also been faithful. So he here brings to their mind that he rebukes them in these verses the things that they've not done well. So from verse 17 onwards, he rebuked them for turning the garden of the church to observe the Lord's Supper with reckless feasting that did not edify. So that's the purpose here, that the Lord's Supper, which ought to be a means of edification for the church, has been turned into reckless feasting, and so that's not edified. So he will point out the things that are not going on well, and then he will remind them again what the Lord's Supper is and how they ought to observe it reverently as a church, as believers. And say, I have no, Yekaya verse 2, First Corinthians chapter 11, chapter verse 2, no? For you, Oboma Basusa, Omai Adia, sir, in no more or trouble, or no, or much to me, it is so. Now, back verse 17, no, for now, but still, Omboma Basu, no woman, no, but come in, if you say, I have not, as you say, I won't write it again, no more do so. Write it again, Brenna, or some Wishiana, Aka, a young bra, almost soon, soon, any. He says that they come together not for the better, but for the worse. Also, Moba is Shimubeshia, and yes, Mubeshia, Munabia, Abuamu, Nemuva Beshimu, Namu, no Mabaye, your mind. So Mushimuak, also Mushimu, Asra Shimuno, or say, Aquina, say, be a member of one of to me to show Mokusa, Abu Dhabi. Also, I say, Shimu, Mushimu, Shimu, I won't know, and Yoma, I idea, Mbuamu. Used to Abraham. And so, while the church meetings are for edification and instruction from God's word, and also for prayer, fellowship, and service, this has been a reverse in the Corinthian church. And that, and here, particularly the observance of the Lord's Supper. And differently, we go to chapter 13, 14 onwards, you see that even about even church, how the gifts are used, and there was also this order there. So, not only the Lord's Supper, other things were affected. But then here he's dealing with the Lord's Supper, that the meeting for the Lord's Supper, their church meeting was to make them better. But then they were, they make things worse, it doesn't bring any good to anyone. And before I move on, one thing that we should know, that church meetings should be a means to make us better Christians. Whatever gathering the church has, whether the main worship, fellowship, even for Christian service, it should be a means to make us better Christians. So it means to encourage us to be able to be zealous about the things of the Lord. It means to encourage us to love the Lord more. It means to refresh us. It means to even help the backslidden to really realize that they have to seek the Lord's help. And it means even to increase our prayer life, everything. That's the purpose of church meetings. Whether the main worship or any fellowship we have, that's the purpose of the church meeting. We come together for better, not for worse. The Apostle Paul came and had a church said, "Asore eshi emubiano, ose ye emrea ebe boy Christian a Christian brabon. Asore eshi emubiano, ose ye biya ye baba ye asore ti ebe shimna." I'm sorry, Rabbi. I'm 18. I'm Yasem. I'm a vampire. I'm not saying you would be a DPI. I'm not saying you're a Sunday school. I'm not saying you're a Christian. 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 Nebuta Ejinahono, and Ejinahoma Christo, Abraham, I'm sure you know that if we look at many gatherings of many places like the God Church, it's not church at all because it makes people worse. I always say this by this charismatic churches, People will go to church, they leave their compound house, they will leave the house, they are filled with people, they will go to church and some prophet, so-called prophet, will tell them, oh, those are running because of their enemy or her enemies. You come back and then rather become a person with a hatred in his or her heart. And then it makes her worse. They'll go and they'll be told whatever, they go home and they are worse than their relationship with God and his things are, they are worse in it than anything else, see? So this church meeting, in a way, has made them worse. While the church meeting, if the person is a sinner, it should be a means of the instruction, even the conversation, even if it's not the main preaching, the fellowship of believers, even if among believers, if there's somebody who is not a believer, our conversation should put him in mind of his own stand before Christ, or put him in mind of spiritual life, eternity, or God himself, and whatever is being a hindrance to him. At least something about our conversation to be a remembrance of such a person. I'm sure we have known Christian brethren, they will gather, and all their conversation, there's nothing about spiritual things. Jokes and triviality, they laugh, and no. If we are believers, our fellowship, even not anywhere we meet, our conversation should be a means of what ministry others, giving them something about our faith, giving them something to remind them that they are in danger, remind them of their lack of spiritual life, remind them of their sin. Anyway, our conversation should help them to realize that they hold at least wrong views of life, and that even if this is about things that about entertainment, our entertainment should remind them of their need to be refined their entertainment. Whatever we, as the Lord Jesus Christ said, we are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. Believers are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. You see, last time when we were looking at the Lord's advice, when this the salt preserves. Salt preserves things so that our life should preserve holiness and the kind of godliness which is lost in the world. So wherever we are found, our life should be a preserver of such things of the world, so that through that others may also come. And again, the light, the gospel should be we should be taught bearers of the gospel. Wherever we are found, if opportunity avails itself, we should be able to witness and try to tell people about Christ. So that you come together for the better, but for the worse. And it's the American say, a piece of worship will be an or say, a quinya, be a fat piece to a bravo, and I say, a fa, conquer bravo, a fa, a sua, a sura, and I say, we are dancing, dear, I'll say, different piece to whom I'm one year from one engine in the little room. I say, yeah, you're my fat, you can see him. Maybe a bit she will be an. The Christian life always should be a way that we profit into ourselves and to others, you see. So it reminds us of all our meetings, all our gatherings, all our fellowship, it should be this. Even when we are talking about politics, we should think of politics in lines of scripture. When we are thinking about disaster, we should think about disaster in connection with what the Bible says about disasters, and what that the Lord wants us to think of when disasters happen. Are we supposed to think about how the world will think about the hopelessness of disaster? No. Are we supposed to think about politics and probably the corruptions in the country, whatever, as unbelievers who think that everything is gone? No. God, we should be those who think of things as God is in control, that nothing is out of his hand, and that all that is happening, the Lord is in control. So these are the things that we should always have in mind. But again, I move on. I read to you verse 18. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Divisions. So we see that he has spoke about they are coming together for the worse, and here said that he has said divisions among them. Divisions, these divisions were caused by They are reckless and irreverent observers of the Lord's Supper. Out of these divisions, now the Lord's Supper, you see, the meeting of the Lord's Supper was the very gathering which ought to remind the church of the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, the symbolic, and also the oneness of believers in Jesus Christ. You see, but the very meeting that should rather remind them of the, what their oneness is, rather they are observing this ordinance of the Lord with divided church. So the very thing that should bring them together and remind them of their oneness, rather they are observing it with the divide, with divisions among them. So you see, so these divisions is causing this reckless and irreverent observance of the Lord's Supper, because they were not one. They were divided. They were divided, division among them. So, as they were not observing it together, first Paul rebukes them for cherishing divisions in the church. This, the Lord's Supper, is to bring them together. Because he tells them in verse 20, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not the Lord's Supper. There's division among you. And well, there were other things they did, but there's division among you. The Lord's Supper is for us to remember the Lord and his death on the cross of Calvary. Later, the verses themselves will tell us about how the Lord suffered for us and how he has reconciled us to God. His body offered, the blood that he shed for our redemption. The cost of our salvation should be in our mind when we come to the Lord's Supper. And how this should even unite us more, but there was division in observance of this. And as a whole, yeah, dear, yeah, a way, bra. A sham is here, I show him about way. And so we see him, I aside to my dear, only to Papi Munay. So there was the irreverent and reckless observance in the church. And Apostle Paul will rebuke them. So Apostle Paul, a few men, more common, you said that. A radiated dear, no, we see him, Papi Munay. So he tells them in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 13, you know, it's the same epistle, but he touched on their division and he asked them, is Christ divided? Because at that point he was fitting, you know, the division at Corinth, in the church at Corinth, there were so many divisions. Somewhere divided along the lines of their preachers, Apollos, Paul, Cephas. And here, I'm sure that division has gone on to come to this point where, at the Lord's Supper, so maybe for us, we are Paul's people, we are Peter's people, we have, so we have our Lord's Supper separate from the others. So you see, Apostle Paul asked them in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13, is Christ divided? Apostle Paul, that part of him was about, sorry, you know, because I'm saying, Christo, you know what you're saying now. Well, if you say you are this, you are for that, you are for that. Are you a Christian? Is Christ divided? No, Christ is not divided. There's only one Christ, who is the head of the church. And he's the one who died to save us from sin, if we are saved, and put us in his church. You see, if everyone in the church is, the guardian of the church is saved, then it's the Lord that has saved us. He saved us from sin, and then put us in his church. And so that's why there should be any division in the church. So, Apostle, is Christ divided? So that there's divisions among you. First of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. There's divisions among you. The church, one of the characters of the church is the unity. Because true church, they are one in Christ. All believers are one in Christ. And so that our God, our congregation, should manifest that. And yet, in this way to manifest what Christ has done in our heart, which will unite us now the division. That's the picture. So if truly Christ has saved us, then there shouldn't be any division among his people. That's the picture Apostle Paul is trying to say. So the Lord Jesus Christ and the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in the congregated church, ought always to be in one and everything for his glory. As you hear, and a congregated church ought to be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10. They ought to be perfectly joined. That's the picture, that's the language. Perfectly, not about lapping. It's like if we are like a flat material, we should be closely knit. That's the picture. In the membership, in what? In the same mind and the same judgment, you see, so that our purpose, our everything is the same. The how we want things to be done is the same. Everything is the same. But you know, the Corinthian church, it wasn't happening. There were people with different minds, people with different judgments of things, how things ought to be done. They have their personal preferences and tastes, and they say, that's how it should be. Somebody will say, well, I'm for Paul, someone will say, I'm for Apollos, and that's how it's for. But yet, that's not, the church is not for Paul, nor Apollos, or for Cephas, it's for Christ. And Apostle Paul asked them, did I die for you? You see. So, personal preferences and taste which has self-glory in view and not Christ and his church is often the cause of divisions in the church. Personal taste and preferences. Because if we have Christ alone as our preference and his ways our preference and his will our choice and his will is what we want to follow, there will be no division. But we all believe the same thing. We all hold on to the same Christ and his thing. Then we can say, In 3rd Epistle of John, verse 1 to 9, Diotrephes was one of these. He wanted to have preeminence in the church. He wants his way. Apostle John said he wrote to the church, but Diotrephes wouldn't listen. He wouldn't let the people have access. I mean, those who were visiting the church, and he was opposing them against the apostles. Diotrephes, an example of him. Those who cause divisions in the church, not because there's an error that they have to separate, no. They are in the church and they call division. No, you can't be in the church and call division. Mm-hmm. But that was happening at Corinth. Then the entire apostle John, in some of the epistles, you know, 3rd John chapter 2, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 9. Then my friend Diotrephes, John said, oh, I'm sorry, you know, So, as I said, if only all members in the congregated church have Christ's glory alone as the motive of their conduct, there will be no room for divisions in the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, Apostle Paul questioned those who separate. He says, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou did not receive? Now, if thou didn't receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? If you were a believer, whatever makes you a believer, and whatever gives you grace to be able to do whatever you do for Christ, who has given it to you? That's what the question is. If someone is able to do more or less, and they are all genuine believers, we all have the same faith. Christ We all have the same Christ. So there's no distinction. It's in the world. I always say, it's in the world that there are that differences. No. In the Lord, there's no that distinctions. It doesn't matter who we are. There's no distinctions. For who maketh thee to differ from another? We are all sinners. We have been brought to Christ by His own precious blood. We didn't do anything. We are saved by grace. And now, why do you distinguish? That's the question from another. Why? What maketh you to differ from another? And what has thou that we did not receive? And then a man was also a jedini. And then a man was from who feed jedini from. And then a wa young farmer. Upon the fact, and I said, I do not bring a good point to my own. Please let him out. And then a man who is from who feed him. Now, for supposing that, Unia, sir, the more you kiss to Nina fee. So those who separate differently, people want to distinguish themselves when they want to feel that they are better than others, in whichever better they put they think of. But if thou have received it, then why do you boast of it? And so this reminds us that in the Church of Jesus Christ, whatever worldly status, our natural and spiritual abilities that believers possess, it doesn't make them superior Christians than others who may not have the same. It doesn't matter what our status in the world is. It doesn't matter years in Christianity. There's no superior Christians. We are all the same. If somebody was saved just yesterday, and if I was saved about many years ago, we have the same Christ. Well, I've walked the Christian life for a long time. Somebody has just started. We are all Christians, you see. We have the same Christ. There's one foundation for our faith, Christ. So we are faith in the agent and we come back Christ to so we are so why Christ only for our faith every more. Omu Christo here no eba akoko o Christo ni. Omu nyao Christo ba. So so ebia ene omu mu. And the omu jina bia o we are say and I say bia a chedi bia omu wono. And more money, Christ of War, what matters is that whatever endowment and opportunities we have, if we are believers, it must be used for the good of all the brethren. So that's what we have, whether have to do. Those opportunities we have shouldn't be a means of pride and glory and exhibition. Should be a means of usefulness. It should be a means of profitability to the church. We should be those who will be laboring more. We should be those who will be even becoming more zealous for the things of the Lord. So the more the Lord gives us, He expects us to do more. Whatever He has given us, it's not occasion for anyone to be proud about. That's what Pastor is telling us. Because all that we are, all that we have, are gifted to us. Our very breath that we are breathing is given to us. And if we are saved, it is by grace alone. We did not work out our salvation. We did not save ourselves. So, and that should make us one in Christ. And there will be no division. And however, as we are talking about divisions, a believer can separate from his church when he decides not to join their fellowship. And even this, there must be reasonable case. It is only when the church is saying, well, they are drifting from the truth. The church is not upholding the truth. Yes, then I can. And this division, separation, I leave the church. I say, Christ to me, so I'm sorry, that's a sorry, no, you're human being now. Okay, say, my name is Bible, bra. Or to me, so if you are sorry, me. You cannot separate from the church. Stay in the church, no. But so long as he worships together with the church, it is his Christian responsibility to be one with that congregation, both in doctrine and practice. Sir Christo Ninoa, a fool said, well, we've been to pass our training. So I can know our soil now more. And the 30 years of Christo said, only a foreigner woman, or my baby babble, and then a moon to my dear, so you're my babble. Yes. You see, So long as you separate, then you should leave the church. You cannot be in the church and not agree with the church. If you do that and you don't agree with the church and also both in doctrine and practice, you are rather causing disorder in the church. You see, if you are in the church, you worship together with them, and you are a member of the church, then it is the responsibility of such a believer to faithfully take his share of the burdens of the church. If I am a member of the church, I also take my share of the burdens of the church. Whatever the church is doing, I should be part. I cannot be a spectator of what the church is doing. Whether if you are not agree, then I live. As long as I am part of the church and I agree with what the church does, I should take my share. Okay. The house of God is a family, and which home has don't share their responsibility. Sister, my children, when I'm not sorry anymore, you may be a sorry, you know, some means so, maybe one of your media. If you want to so the same way in a church, everybody has, if I'm a member of a church, I have to be devoted to the things of the church. As long as I agree with them, I have to also share, maybe be a sharer of the burdens. Else, any aloofness in the church is a disorder. Christ never saved us to be aloof in his church. Then we are not saved at all. If we are in a church, and the church is a family. Who is not concerned with his family? Everybody is concerned with the family. See, and it's working that even a child, a small child in the family, is ever wishing that the family will go on well. So there will be happiness in the family. And the house of God is the church is a family. I cannot be there. Well, I don't care whatever happens there. No, then I don't belong to the church. In practice, I don't belong to the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, I read to you this. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak one the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. This is how the church should be. Apostle Paul heard there was division in the church. He said, I beseech you by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I said, Mr. Ramon, oh, Jesus Christ, give me a real Jesus Christ. Munya munka sambalko. Man pape mumba mumu. Munya munya munka mumdi dende. My dream about who any about. That is the church. You see? And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25 to 26, that there should be no schism in the body division, but the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it, and or whether member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. So that the burdens of the church we share, the joys of the church we share. If I am not partaker of these things, practically, I'm not a member of the church. That's Christ's church. We don't imagine what church should be. The Bible was our rule, you see. And in Corinth, there have been divisions because people were not thinking of this. The Apostle Paul said, Papa Moba Corinth, sorry, if you say, Oma Vinya Bapo, Omusu Sienya Bapo, Asura Sujiene Domusono, Efebi Momo. So you see, what is common to our common life, our normal life, the spiritual life has almost the same, only that it is higher. But what we expect to relate to others, it has that parallel side in the life of the church. The church is a family, the church is a house. Who lives in a permanent house and careless about the house? Nobody lives in the house and is weedy and he leaves it there, he moves. No. Everybody cares about where he lives and keep that place properly. And so it has the church. And whatever goes on there, it should be our responsibility. And even if things are not good, we should be able to point to the officers, oh please, this is not working well. Because nobody, when you live in a house and maybe it's a rented house, when there's something the landlord has to fix, you don't sit down, they go and tell him, my landlord, this is why this is not going on. The same way. So wherever we are, Those who have their childish things are concerning us, we will try to say something about it. You know, so in a church we don't say it proudly, but we should be concerned, you see. Everything that the church does, except that I say, if we are separated, we don't agree what they do, fine, then we go. But as long as we are in a church, we should be concerned. That's the spirit of Christ for his churches. So for first of all, I read to verse 18 again. First of all, when you come together in a church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. So when the divisions were reported to Apostle Paul, he knew that this could be true of some among them. That's what he's trying to say. This to be true of some, and those concerned may be those who may not be true believers, or true believers, but their love for Christ has waxed cold. These two categories of people are only those who can put division in the church. Are hypocrite Christians and those who may be genuine, but their love for Christ has waxed cold. You know, when our love for Christ waxed cold, our attitude almost like an unbeliever's. So the Lord help us that we watch over our love for Christ by glorifying Him alone, and that this keeps us in His love all the time. That we put Him alone. The psalmist says, I have set the Lord always before me. See, we set the Lord always before us, and now we are thinking of Him alone. In all that we do, we will never grow cold to Him. Yes, sometimes we may have our struggles, we may sin with difficulties, but we will never leave Christ. You see, we will never leave Him. And His things, we will never leave His things. We'll always be so, even in our own weaknesses, we will so struggle to obey Him. And that will be our joy in this world that we live in. Jamaican Apostle Paul said, or she said, and Papi Mwaba Umuno, or GDA, if you say, let me say, a bear in the crow. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. 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 Remember Nehemiah, he was working in the palace of the king of the whole world. But when he heard the report that the walls of Jerusalem broken down, burnt up, nobody is caring, he wept. He began to cry to the Lord to help him, so that he, with his influence, he could go there and at least fix it. That's the heart of a believer. Nehemiah, what is that? Israel, a first rule of Bulu. Now, I should say, you know, we are and full beyond the Jerusalem of Bosnia. Bible sent a real who you swear. But she has all born by the red woman of Pena, more no Tibia, because no one's not your rich man of what? Because no, you know, we are in the Akin, not him, few years. My uncle was my uncle. So that's it. And only Akuma, yeah, or Jedi Niakuma. I don't just think of Christ, think of His church. I'm not going all well, I'm happy, I live my life, I'm happy. No! When things are not going all with the work of Christ, the work of the church, it affects me for my believer. And I'm a part of the church, it affects me. I don't sit aloof and look at it and let it go on. No, I don't do that, you see. Because if I do that, and if I'm a true believer, then it means that my love of Christ has lost food. You see, and I said we should watch Yemfe Yedra Yoma Christo. So I don't even need to do Yenya and see our Nedra Oma the Boyo for Yemfe Sadono, Yemfe Ye. If you say Yoma Rich Oma Dono, I perform a call for more Abema Yet, that is an engine for cry. Oh, you are seeing. Verse 19. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. For there must be heresies. Heresies. This word means the original means that sect or factions in the church. Sect or factions. And here, these sects or factions have developed out of these divisions in the church. You know, when we talk of set of factions, people, maybe there's a group, and among the group, some are beginning to have a divergent ideas in the group, and so they form a group within the group. That's what means this set of factions. You know, at the time of Lord Jesus Christ in Israel, there were three sects about their worship. There was a sect of the Pharisees, there was a sect of the Sadducees, there was a sect of the Essenes. They were all Judaizers, but they have their own view. The Pharisees were the most serious ones, only that they were hypocrites, but they seemed to obey the law more. The Sadducees were so worldly, and the Essenes also have their portion. So the sect, it was even the Christians at the point were sect, because the Jews usually saw them as deviating from their worship of their father. So that's the idea. So the sect here, later on in church history, became like holding erroneous views. But here the word itself has been sect and factions that have developed out of these divisions in the church. And Apostle Paul, and she will say, I saw him with a cuckoo, be more. I said, a cuckoo, no, you're afraid you're the other one. I said, oh, I'm more sorry, but I said, oh, more, and yeah, Bibia, and yeah, sorry, no, and I said, you're so church, you know, and just, I said, more, I agree, and then I saw Agrino, and about, you're so church, you know, and about. And he said, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are proved may be made manifest among you. So his meaning is that since there have been divisions among you, this will definitely produce factions in the church so that the true believers will be distinguished. Though this, there have been divisions, and you know these divisions, indeed true believers will be seen. Why is he saying that? The purpose of the division, why did people separate themselves? Their reasons are there. If it's truly the apple price, it will be known. And if it is for their personal, then glorious ideas, it will be known by the reason of their separation. That's what Apostle Paul is saying. There have been factions in the church. And then, differently, this will come because of the division. But it is also said that they which are proved may be made manifest among they who are proved as true Christians. They want to prove as how they test a gold and see the quality of the gold. So that those who are true Christians may be made manifest among you. So you see, divisions are not good. It comes out of wrong motives and wrong ideas. But if it comes and it's observed, you will see the true people. Those who will cling to Christ and those who just want to divide or separate because and hold on to opinions. Because if we are all holding on to Christ, there will be no divisions among us. That's what it means. So long as there's division, and some are not holding to Christ, some are holding on to other things. So, if people are true believers, the purpose of their separation will testify their genuineness. Well, this is a church, I am part of it. I'm leaving the church. Again, that is another aspect. Why are you leaving? Your reasons of living will show you are true Christians or not. Because if the church doing it against the truth, if it is true, then you have a good reason to go. If it is not, then your separation and your leaving the church shows that you are not genuine. Because if you are true, Apostle John said, if they were with us, they would have stayed, they would have gone. So long as they left, meaning they are not. Because Apostle John was a true believer, and those that he was, they were true believers. So those who separate from them, meaning they were not genuine. Because if we all love Christ, we will love where his people are. So it's not so that they are. What Apostle Paul, my time is gone. I cannot add the verse 21, there's a lot. So I'll leave that part, and I wanted to add speak of it up to verse 22, but we cannot. So I'll leave it. But then, this is what Apostle Paul is trying to tell us. And all these things, because there was abuse of the Lord's Supper. San Newman, you can say, if I did it, you know, almost 5 years and man, almost, but then, it also reminds us the cause of divisions in the church. And if all the members love Christ and we have him in heart, there will be no divisions among us. And that all our meetings and our fellowship will be for edification, because we want Christ to be glorified in all our associations and all our fellowship. The Lord help us as we think about these things.